There are topics when we go to discuss things with individuals that are more sensitive and delicate than others. And as we grow up and get older, we understand what those topics are, and so we're careful when we talk with other people. For example, when we talk with others about their personal health or their lives or something involving their body, we're careful because we know that maybe sometimes those might be sensitive or delicate topics. I can think of maybe ideas that people have, especially in the areas of religion and politics, that those are delicate topics. And another one that comes to my mind is money. Money. We typically don't talk with individuals about their personal assets. We don't go up to somebody and say, "Jeff, how much money do you have in your wallet today?" We don't do that. We don't ask people what money they make at work. We don't ask them what their annual income is. We don't do that type of thing. That's a personal topic. That's something that is close to us. And yet, this morning we're going to see that the Apostle Paul talked with an entire congregation about their money. And you get to thinking, well, how would that be done? Well, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to see how that is done. I want to talk a little bit this morning about the magnificent Macedonians. And Paul is going to use them as an example to the Corinthian brethren about their money, about their giving. And again, you think about that topic of money or contribution or giving. We've just done that just prior to the Lord's Supper. That is something of a personal nature. And we don't ask each other how much we gave. We don't talk with each other about those personal kinds of things. And yet, Paul is going to talk to an entire church about their money, about their giving. And the way that he does it this morning is our lesson. We're going to learn from these magnificent Macedonians. I asked Daniel if he would lead the song before the Lord's Supper, "When I Surveyed the Wondrous Cross," because the last line says, "When I see Christ's love, I need to give my life and give my all." And I asked Daniel if he would lead before the sermon, "I Surrender All." We're going to see that the Macedonians had this attitude. I just want to give my life in order to serve God and to help others. And I want to study a little bit this morning about giving. And of course, the giving that we're talking about is our contribution. I do want to talk about that. That is the specific lesson here in 2 Corinthians 8, chapters 8 and 9 deal with the contribution, the giving. But it's broader than that. The principles that we're looking at this morning can apply to giving our time, giving our talents, giving our physical resources to serve somebody else. Giving. And we're going to learn from these magnificent Macedonians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul is going to bring up the example of the Macedonians. He's also going to mention Jesus later in the chapter as an example for giving. You know, there are a number of different ways in which a person could talk to somebody else about their money. And again, that's a sensitive matter. But how did Paul choose to do that? He chose to talk about it from the standpoint of, can we follow the example of godly brethren? You know, there's two ways you can learn something. You can learn something through book information, or you can learn something by following the example of someone else. And that's the approach that Paul takes here. He's going to use the example of the Macedonians in the first five verses. And then come down with me to verse 9 for just a moment. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich," talking about him being in heaven, "yet for your sakes he became poor," his life on the earth, "that you through his poverty might become rich through what he did on the cross." So he uses the example of Jesus in giving. And he uses the example of these Macedonian brethren. There was a need in Jerusalem. Judea, we know from Acts chapter 11 and other places, there were famines. Brethren in Jerusalem, we know from the book of Acts, Acts 2 through 12, the church at Jerusalem, there's different examples of needs there. Widows being neglected and other types of things. And this is several years later, a little over 20 years later, but there's still a need for brethren in Jerusalem to be helped. And so different ones are sending to that help, and the Corinthian brethren need to finish up their collection and send it. These Macedonian brethren, who are they? They live in a Roman colony, and we know from Acts chapter 16 and 17 that Paul had been there preaching the gospel. We know of at least three different churches or groups of brethren in Macedonia: Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. And Paul was there in Acts 16 and 17. And we know from Acts 16 and 17 that there was trouble and trial and turmoil in, for example, the city of Philippi and Thessalonica. You recall that Paul and Silas are thrown in jail unnecessarily. All Paul did was heal a woman of a demon. And the men that were using her didn't like that. And so they get the town magistrates involved, and they have Paul and Silas thrown in prison. It's a difficult place to be. And in Thessalonica, you may recall that there were some Jews there that assaulted the house of Jason. They didn't like Paul preaching the gospel there, and they get run out of town. So these are difficult places to be in for brethren. And yet we find that it doesn't keep them from giving. The Macedonian brethren. The giving that is discussed here in our lesson today has to do with the needy saints in Jerusalem. But in Philippians 4 verse 15, the Philippian brethren had sent direct support to Paul for preaching. They wanted to be involved in their giving. And it's the example of these Macedonian brethren that I want us to consider this morning. When Paul writes 2 Corinthians, the book is divided into three sections. First of all, Paul gives a defense of his ministry in the first seven chapters. And then right here in between, in chapters 8 and 9, he takes a moment to move to another topic, and that is the Corinthians need to be getting their collection and their contribution finished. They need to complete the doing. They had planned it. They had talked about it. They had been preparing for it. Now they need to complete it and send it to the needy brethren in Jerusalem. And so Paul uses chapters 8 and 9 to talk about that, and then he's going to go back to defending his apostleship at the end of the book. We're very familiar with chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, concerning the giving, that a man is to purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. We're very familiar with that part of this book. But I want to look at the first few verses of this section and see what we can learn from these Macedonian brethren. Paul is going to use them as an example, and it's those qualities that I want us to consider this morning. Now, we call this 2 Corinthians. Paul had written what we call 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 1 through 4, a few months to a year earlier, where Paul had given instructions to them to lay by in store on the first day of the week. And now some time has passed. If you notice verse 10, you who were the first to make a beginning a year ago, so a few months to a year has passed, and now they need to complete the doing. And in order for them to do that, Paul is going to use the example of the Macedonians. Let's read the first five verses and see what we can learn for our encouragement this morning. Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, how that in much proof of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For according to their power, I bear witness, yea, and beyond their power, they gave of their own accord, beseeching us with much entreaty in regard of this grace, and the fellowship and the ministering to the saints. And this, not as we had hoped, but first they gave their own selves to the Lord and to us through the will of God. Now, as I mentioned, this is setting up chapters 8 and 9 for the physical monetary contribution, the money that is given for the work of the Lord. But as we see these principles this morning, consider also giving other things in our life. First of all, Paul says, "Brethren, we make known unto you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia." Notice, first of all, this morning, brethren, the quality in these Macedonians, that they displayed the grace of God in their giving. When we hear the word grace, I commonly associate it with the grace of God in saving mankind from their sin. And it's used many times that way in the New Testament, but there's a few times where grace is used with regard to us. Grace means unmerited favor, blessing, a favor or a blessing that is bestowed upon somebody else. And in this case, the grace of God is the grace of giving. Giving is the grace. In fact, this word grace is used several times in chapters 8 and 9 for the giving, and that's how it's being used here. Look at verse 6. "Insomuch that we exhorted Titus that as he made a beginning before, so he would also complete in you this grace." Complete the giving. Get your contribution together and give it to those needy saints in Jerusalem. And it's called grace. I want us to see, first of all, this morning that our giving is grace. Our giving is favor and blessing as the Lord's work is carried out. And we talk about how that the elders using the Lord's money here, and they are using that in a good way. And when we give for evangelism and edification and needy saints, that is grace. You are showing your favor and blessing on others. We commonly associate the grace of God with God. But this is our grace. And it's the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia. This is the grace of giving. It comes from God because He gave. He gave His only begotten Son, and He teaches us to give. And we're to go out and show grace to others in giving. They were gracious in their giving. Let us be gracious in our giving. And then the Apostle Paul says here in this text that it's something that's really amazing. In verse 2, how that in much proof of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. These brethren were undergoing unfavorable circumstances. They were being afflicted. Sometimes we think with regard to giving that we don't have to give during difficult times. We still have to give during difficult times. I want you to notice in verse 2 that the Macedonian brethren were undergoing affliction. And this is a word that means to be pressed hard on. And we know from Acts 16 and 17 that these are difficult places to live in. The gospel was confronted when Paul came to Philippi, when Paul came to Thessalonica. There were Jews, in the case of Philippi, non-Jews, who didn't like Christ being preached. And the Christians that are left behind, they're going to be persecuted. They're going to be afflicted. And yet these Macedonian brethren didn't say, "Well, because I'm going through a hard time, I don't have to give." They said, "I'm going through a hard time and I'm still going to give." Affliction can be seen in Acts chapter 17 in Thessalonica. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. "And when we go through difficult times, brethren, from time to time, That's not a time to stop giving. That's a time to continue giving through that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6, and you, talking about these Thessalonians that church began in Acts 17, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about joy in just a minute. Go back and read Acts 17 and you'll see some of that affliction. And it continued on in chapter 2 and verse 14. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things of your own countrymen, even as they did of the Jews. So let's remember that in difficult times and hardships, that we still need to give. And that's what these Macedonian brethren are a great example. And I call them magnificent because we're talking about qualities that shine and stand out. Anybody can give when times are good, but when you give when times are bad, that's magnificent. Notice back in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2, Paul says, "The proof of your affliction, the abundance of their joy." These brethren were happy when they were afflicted. Are we happy when we're afflicted? Are we happy when we go through difficult times? It's easy to grumble and complain, and I know how easy that is, and we have to catch ourselves and check ourselves. We have to be content and grateful and appreciative and thankful. But the text says that they were going through affliction, but the abundance of their joy caused them to give. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, that we're going to be persecuted, but rejoice, for great is your reward in heaven. We've got to stay positive and happy and not lose sight of that goal. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16 and 17. It's amazing to me how that when you find these Macedonian brethren, you find positivity in the midst of this affliction. When Paul and Silas are let out of jail in Acts chapter 16 and verse 40, and they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. Lydia and her household had been baptized earlier in the chapter, and when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. The last thing that Paul did was to build them up and encourage them in the midst of their persecution. And so they stayed faithful. They stayed positive. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. When Paul is writing back to the Thessalonian brethren, he brings up this matter of persecution. Let's see what he says there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. When we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left behind at Athens alone. You remember in Acts 17 that Paul went there after Thessalonica and sent Timothy, our brother and God's minister in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Paul didn't want to leave these brethren that were being afflicted. He didn't want to leave them without encouragement and consolation. And so he sends Titus to accomplish that goal. Let no man be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that hereunto we are appointed. Brethren, we're not going to be moved and shaken and disturbed by our troubles that are going on in life. We're not going to do that. And we're going to keep giving. For verily, when we were with you, we told you beforehand that we are to suffer affliction, even as it came to pass. And you know, they weren't experiencing it hypothetically, but in reality. For this cause I also, when I could no longer forbear, sent that I might know your faith, lest by any means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor should be in vain. The devil is trying to use difficult times to tempt us to quit. And we're not going to let that happen. But when Timothy came, verse 6, even now unto us from you, and brought us glad tidings of your faith and love, and that you have good remembrance of us always, longing to see us even as we also to you. They continue to show their love in their giving and their faith in serving the Lord. Difficult times will come and do come, and we experience those. But we're going to keep giving, and we're going to keep our joy. And notice the second thing that the other in this same verse, back with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Notice how that the Apostle Paul uses these magnificent Macedonians as brethren who gave. But look at what the text says. And their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Not only are these brethren afflicted, but apparently they are poor themselves. And Paul says, deep poverty. These were Roman citizens. They're outside of Rome. They're in the Roman Empire. They're away from Rome proper. They're Roman citizens. They had some nice things. The Via Ignatia went through this area. It was a nice highway for the day. They had some Roman citizenship. They had some other privileges. But something was going on where they were poor themselves. We're not given the details of it. But they said, even though we're poor, we're going to keep giving. Sometimes difficult times are used as an excuse not to give. Or even our own inadequacies are an excuse not to give. But they didn't operate that way. They said, we don't have a whole lot, but we want to give what we can. And it reminds me of the widow in Luke 21, if you'll turn with me there. Jesus praises this woman. He sees various ones putting into the treasury, and she's not commended because of the large amount that she gave. She's commended because she gave her all. Jesus looked up and saw the rich men that were casting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw a certain poor widow casting in their two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, this poor widow casts in more than they all, for all these did of their superfluity, or their excess. They're just skimming off the top. It's no sacrifice for them. But she of her want did cast in all the living that she had. So these Macedonians are amazing in that they're giving even when they themselves don't have a whole lot. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul says that their affliction and their joy and their poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. This is an interesting word. It literally means simple. It's a word that the Greeks used where something wasn't folded over. It was just flat. It wasn't folded over and complicated. It was just flat and smooth and simple and straight. And it became a word that meant single-minded. Uncomplicated, we would say today. Here it's translated liberality. It literally means single-mindedness. Their lives weren't complicated. It was just, I want to serve the Lord. I want to serve my brethren. I want to do what's right. Not complicated. Just give. And that's a great way to live. An uncomplicated life. Not caught up with the things of this world and the things that the world gets caught up in, but a very simple, single-minded life. Paul will use this word later in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse 3 where he's fearful that the brethren would be taken away from Christ by these false teachers and that they would be corrupted from the simplicity and the purity that is toward Christ. This single-minded, uncomplicated devotion to Christ, I'm fearful that you might be taken away from that, so be careful. We just need a simple, uncomplicated, focused life on Christ. And as a result of that, they were liberal and generous in their giving. Paul uses this word, if you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 12, in verse 8 with regard to any giving that we do, whether it's the contribution or the giving of time, talents, resources. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 8, he that exhorts, let him give himself to his exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with singleness. Let him do it with liberality. That's the only way to give. Uncomplicated, wholehearted service to Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul says that, moving on to verse 3, that when they gave, it was according to their power, which means ability, their means. And then he says something spectacular. He says, I bear witness, yea, and beyond their power, they gave of their own accord. We expect ability. We expect somebody just to do what they're able. We'll say sometimes, well, just do what you're able to do. We'll tell the kids that. Just do what you can do. This surprised Paul, because when he realizes how much they're giving, he's realizing that it's got to be beyond their ability and beyond their power. We talk about going the second mile. We talk about going above and beyond the call of duty. That's the kind of brethren these are. That's why they're magnificent Macedonians. It wasn't a bare minimum approach to life. It wasn't, preacher, tell me, what's the bare minimum that I can give? What can I do just to barely get by? It was above and beyond their means and their ability. And that's the approach that we need to take with anything in life, especially our service to Christ. These brethren are amazing. Paul doesn't bring up the dollar amount. He doesn't talk about they gave X amount. That's not the point, to learn, well, what was the dollar amount? The point was to learn these great attitudes that are behind that. We're not given the dollar amount. We're given the example that is for us in every aspect of our life that will cause us to give generously. So they're giving beyond their ability and their means. What a great example that is. And then Paul writes in verse 4 that they gave of their own accord. Latter part of verse 3 and going into verse 4, beseeching us. They gave of their own accord. Paul, when he was on his second preaching trip, especially in his third preaching trip, he would bring up the matter of the poor brethren in Jerusalem and Judea. He would write about it, 1 Corinthians 16. He would tell brethren about it, and then they would respond. And the Macedonian brethren learned from Paul that there were some needy saints in Jerusalem. They didn't have to be forced, though, to give. They did it, Paul says, of their own accord. Once they learned that this was a need, and once, Philippians 4, once they learned about the preaching of the gospel and the needy saints, they just gave. And it reminds me of those who brought the material things for the building of the tabernacle in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 2. They brought their gifts of a free will, willingly. Paul didn't have to berate them and beat them over the head and constantly be talking about that. It was something that was just of their own accord. And that's the best kind of giving. Anybody can give when they're forced to. Any of us can give when somebody is honest. But when it comes from our own accord, our own idea, our own desire, then it means so much more. Look at verse 4. Paul says, beseeching us with much entreaty. When's the last time on the matter of giving and that type of thing, has anybody come up to you and begged you, I want to give you some money, please. Please take this money from me. When was the last time that's happened? We typically don't have people begging us. These people were begging Paul. We have money that we want to give. And think about that with regard to anything. Our time, our talents, our service. When can I do this? What can I do to help? When can I do it? I want to do more. Can you sign me up for more? Please, I beg you. They were begging Paul to give. What a great attitude. I believe they had learned what Jesus said in Acts 20, 35. Paul said that Jesus said this, the Lord said this, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. They had learned that, and now they're wanting to engage in that. And please, Paul, take our contribution to help these brethren. They were beseeching, they were begging us. Let us be that kind of person. We live in a world of selfishness. We live in a world where we keep it for ourselves, where we take it in for ourselves. Let's be like these magnificent Macedonian examples that Paul is using. He uses the example of Jesus and these brethren. And let's be begging to help others. Look at verse 4, beseeching us with much entreaty in regard of this grace. Remember, grace, in this context, it means our giving. Our giving. And the fellowship and the ministering of the saints. It wasn't just for financial reasons that they gave. They wanted to participate in the lives of their brethren. This is a great attitude. It's not just dropping money in the plate. It's not just giving just to go through a routine, but we actually want to share in the Lord's work at Warfield Boulevard. We want to participate. We want to have a close participation in if any of that money is even used for brethren in other places. Sometimes we'll do that for brethren in other places that are in need. We want to actually participate in their lives. Their lives are meaningful to us, and that's what this word fellowship is. It's not a cold business transaction. It's not just a money situation. It's a situation where we know that their needs are going to be alleviated or the gospel is preached or whatever the case is. And I'm personally participating in that, where we take some pride in that and we have a personal love and desire for that. Even brethren that are around the world that we help from time to time or close by. There may be those that we find out in time from this recent pandemic that need help in some way. And we can participate in helping them. So that's why they did it. They wanted to share in the fellowship in the ministering to the saints. Let's take our brethren and the Lord's work personally, that we want to personally participate in that. And they gave in a way that surprised Paul. He said, they gave not as we had hoped. Not as we had hoped. In other words, beyond what we expected. Can we be a Christian that does things that are beyond expectations? We don't want to be mediocre Christians. We don't want to be Christians that have fallen into a characteristic. This is the way they'll always be. We want to be above and beyond that. We want to go beyond what is expected. Magnificent Macedonians. And they were an example that was effective. Turn with me to Romans chapter 15. This is interesting. Paul writes Romans a little after 2 Corinthians, and when he does so, notice what he says. This example worked, apparently. Because when Paul writes to the Romans, again, about these needy brethren in Jerusalem, look at what is said in Romans 15, verse 25. But now I say I go into Jerusalem, ministering unto the saints. He had been gathering funds to take for these needy brethren. We know from Acts chapter 20 that he's taking funds with him and he comes into Jerusalem and delivers that. For it has been the good pleasure of Macedonia, that's what we're talking about this morning, the Macedonians, and then look at it, and Achaia, that's where Corinth was, to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints that are at Jerusalem. So we know the end of the story. The end of the story is that Paul's example of the Macedonians was very effective because they got their contribution together. And they, along with the Macedonians, were able to deliver that money to the poor in Jerusalem. Look at verse 27. It has been the good pleasure, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, they owe it to them also to minister unto them in carnal things. So these Gentiles in Macedonia and Achaia, primarily Gentile congregations, or a lot of Gentiles there, there were Jews there as well. They shared in spiritual blessings. They want to share now in giving physical blessings to these needy brethren. And it was beyond what Paul had expected. And then, as we come to the close of our lesson this morning, look at verse 5. Their giving was not as we had hoped, beyond what Paul expected, for first they gave their own selves to the Lord. And isn't this really the bottom line? Before the wallet was even opened, we would say today, they had already given their lives to Christ. And their physical giving is just simply an outgrowth of giving their lives in every way to Christ. And that's the way it needs to be for us today. And not just the Lord, but also His apostles. Turn back with me a couple of chapters to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul had been writing about the new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:15, He, Christ, died for all, that they that live, Christians, should no longer live unto themselves, but unto Him for whom their sakes died and rose again. We live for Christ. We sing in our song books, living for Jesus. They had first given themselves in every way. So, their personal lives. Lord, I'm giving you over. I'm going to read your word. I'm going to attend the first day of the week assembly. I'm going to live faithfully each day. They're giving themselves to the Lord. And then when it comes time for somebody to tell them, hey, there's some needy saints in Jerusalem, fine, I'll give even beyond what we have. Because they were consecrated and dedicated to Jesus. And when we're like that, we'll give in every aspect of our life. And then last of all, Paul closes by saying that they're giving to the Lord and to the apostles through the will of God. It's what God wants. And Paul had written sometime earlier in 1 Corinthians 16 that upon the first day of the week, let each one lay by him in store. That's God's will. And he had given order. It's a commandment. He had given order to the churches of Galatia. And so do you, brethren, at Corinth. And so it's the will of God. This is God's will that we be generous and giving. They just simply wanted to do what God said to do. Well, we're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement in just a moment. There may be someone here this morning that needs to give their life to Christ and come and put Him on in baptism or come back to the Lord in some way. But those magnificent Macedonians are such a great example of giving. They were hurting. They were afflicted. They were even poor. But they were happy. And they were single-minded. And they gave above and beyond their means. And they did even more than what Paul had expected. They begged to have a place to help. And they had completely given their lives to the Lord. We live in a society of takers. Let's go out this week and be givers. And we'll be like those Macedonian brethren. Money is a sensitive topic. But look at how Paul dealt with that. He brought up some brethren who had great attitudes, and he wants us to have those attitudes today. Let's go out and be like those Macedonian brethren. If we can assist you in some way in coming to Christ, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?